Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 83, entitled Speed Seduction, we chat with the godfather of seduction himself, Ross Jeffries. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is none other than Ross Jeffries. Ross, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
It's my pleasure in addressing your huge audience, and I thank you for the opportunity to teach and to train. It's my favorite thing to do with my clothes on.
Absolutely, man. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, I've been a fan of your work for a long time. And so it's a pleasure to you know, have you on and get to sort of pick your brain as well.
Okay.
So dude, just a kind of a quick background for anyone who hasn't heard of Ross Jeffries. I know you've been around for decades now. When exactly did you get into like the self-help dating industry, and what year was that?
Some of your listeners were probably not even born when I got started. I wrote my first book in 1988.
Wow.
And I got started because I had my own problems that I needed to solve, and I couldn't find any solutions. And I'd always been interested in the way the human mind works and in psychology. And what happened is, one day, I'll make a long story short, I stumbled onto some NLP books written by the founders of NLP, and I immediately fell in love. It was one of the two, I'd had two big intellectual, can I say the word hard-on? two big intellectual hard-ons in my life, and that was one of them. And I knew that NLP was something I was going to master, and I knew I could apply it to my own situation.
Cool, man.
And once that happened, I swore that I would take the solution to as many men as I can.
I think I've heard, I don't know if it was another interview or something, where you were like pretty much down in the dumps, like in a hole, depressed, all that stuff. And was it like hypnosis, NLP, that got you out of that?
Yes. And also taking massive action on what I had programmed in. I think people have to understand, I can put incredibly powerful tools in their hands, and I can change their mindset. I can do a lot, but ultimately you have to be the one who takes the action. And I think people need to understand that more important than confidence is willingness. Having the willingness to do what it takes is more important than being certain that you're going to get the result. By all means, we want to give you every possible tool to even the odds. I remember just saying to myself, all I want is an even playing field. That's all I want. Just even the odds for me. Give me the tools and I'll get the job done. So what I like to do is even the playing field. I sort of originally thought of speed seduction as sort of a dating or seduction kung fu. It's a way of training the little guy how to win against a much bigger and stronger opponent.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you do? You basically took all you learned from hypnosis, NLP, Ericksonian hypnosis, I think it is, right? And kind of just started applying that to your dating life?
That's correct. And what happened is, I wrote a book, How to Get the Women. I'm laughing because it was such a humble beginning. I wrote a book called How to Get the Women You Desire into Bed, A Down and Dirty Guide to Dating and Seduction for the Man Who's Fed Up with Being Mr. Nice Guy. Very strong title that got a lot of attention. Then I started getting on TV talk shows, and that was the start of my career. Back then, TV talk was much different. It wasn't like Jerry Springer words, DNA tests and Bigfoot fathered my child on board a UFO. It was a lot different.
Nice, man. And so kind of just take me through what actual like speed seduction looks like. I know it's a lot of like language patterns, but like for someone who doesn't like understand NLP or any of that stuff, like what it means, can you just kind of quickly go through it?
There are three or four basic pillars of my method. First of all is developing a much deeper and profoundly different way of looking, not just at women, but the way human emotion works. One of the things I get people to understand, for example, is they come to me and they say they want more confidence. And my standard response is to say, okay, I've got 100 gallons of confidence liquid up in my room. I'll drill a hole in your head and pour it in. It's $5,000 an ounce. Do you want to do it? And they all shake their heads no, not because of the price. And I'm making a point that confidence is not a thing. It's an activity that you do. So beginning to look at what we think of as things and think instead of activity is part of the shift. It's beginning to think, wait a minute, there's no such thing as connection. There's no such thing as attraction. These are not things. They're processes that take place with a recipe, and you create them inside of the neurology of the woman you're dealing with. So that's number one, a profoundly different way of looking at language and how women respond. Number two is the language patterns themselves that get women hot and bothered. Number three, I think, is most important, is the inner game stuff. And I subdivide that into building a different self-image, but also having a different learning strategy. Many men don't have a problem with attraction. They have a learning system that doesn't work. They think that by thinking it through in their head, for every one unit of action in the world, they think about it 1,000 times. That strategy doesn't work for learning everything. If you applied that strategy to different areas of life, like business or learning to walk, you'd be crippled. So I teach them a totally different learning strategy, and I help them develop a better balance between taking action and reviewing things. And finally, I would say it's about understanding the power of community to support. One of the things I do, and I don't want to plug, so we'll be careful here, but one of the things I do is when people get involved with my coaching or buy a product, we give them access to a community of guys who will support. Men need a brotherhood, and we need a community. We're far too isolated. Women will support each other. If a woman gets dumped, she has 30 girlfriends she can call. We men tend to be ashamed of the topic, and we tend to isolate. So providing that community is one of the pillars of what I do, and we all need it.
Mm-hmm. I like that, man. Definitely a few like really solid sort of pillar steps to how this kind of speed seduction thing works.
Now just one thing, I can subdivide it even further.
Yeah.
We go into what it takes to meet women, that first little bit. What does it take to actually do the initial quote approach and initial meeting? What do you do to say to get her hot and bothered? How do you deal with last minute resistance, boyfriends, etc.? And then how do you manage your expectations? So there's subdivisions inside of this. You can see it's intricate, like the parts of a watch. It's simpler than it sounds, but it is intricate because I cover every possible detail. Having done this for 28 years, I've learned over the years what guys need. Some guys need less. Some guys are already so good, they just need a little confidence push.
Yeah, like some guys just don't even kind of know that they're good. They're lacking like one little area, and you fix that.
That's right.
Golden.
That's right. And the thing is, the closer you get to the skill set you need to be really successful, the more frustrated you can become, because you're finally that much closer to where you want to be. Can I tell a quick story in this regard?
Sure, absolutely, man.
I had a student who took one of my courses and transformed his life, and he wrote to me and said, you know, I took your course and my confidence skyrocketed. I went to a club. I approached the hottest girl there. Now, Justin, I don't know if you've ever seen this where guys make that invisible shield U-turn. They go to approach the girl and suddenly they make the U-turn.
Yeah.
He said everyone else was doing that. He walked right up to her. I think what he said, it's one of my favorite openers. He said, you know, I was about to leave this place and I saw you and you stopped me dead in my tracks. And I had to come up and talk to you, or I'd kick myself in the butt for 6 weeks. Blew her away.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up making out with her, and occasionally he'd stop and look to see all the guys staring at him. And he said, you know, I'm going to play it cool. I'll get her phone number and wait 3 days. The third day comes, and he looks everywhere for the number, and he can't find it where he put it on his desk. He trashes his condo, looks through all of his trash, and he thinks, oh, damn it, it's garbage night. I threw it in the dumpster out back. So he goes dumpster diving. He's going through dirty diapers. He's going through used tampons, cat litter. Finally, after 90 minutes, he comes up, no phone number. And he said to me the following. He said, Ross, I've been depressed for 6 weeks. My old self has come back and I can't even talk to a woman. Now, think about that. He did 90% of what he needed to do. He did right. All he needed was one more skill, which is closing the deal instead of getting a phone number. Or do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But he got depressed about it because the closer you get to the skill set that you need, you suddenly get into situations that you never got into before. Prior to his skill sets of confidence and approach, he never would have even had the opportunity to make out with that girl. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So learning, training your mind in an area of life that's very difficult, it takes discipline and guidance to train yourself to see progress and to not slide back down the learning curve. And one unique thing I'll claim above all the other teachers, and I do have respect for some of them, one thing I'll claim is I have a better grasp on keeping people going up that learning curve without letting them slide back down and getting depressed for 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And kind of just going back to that point, it does take a certain amount of discipline as well as time and sort of calibration to figure out the new things that are going to be popping up, obviously.
Absolutely. And it has to be addressed. And I have to say, I really don't see that adequately addressed too often in the community.
Russ, jumping into some of like what you do, like what separates you, like kind of actually talking a little bit further about what separates you from some of the other guys out there?
Well, again, it's the level of thinking that I bring to it. I don't think anyone else understands dealing with learned helplessness, taking guys who are looking at this area of life through their pain, getting them to get a clean slate, and understanding learning strategies, teaching them a different learning strategy. Look, you can take the best data, the best system in the world, but if you're processing it through the wrong system, if the way you're processing it is by thinking about it in your head rather than doing it, if the way you process errors is by staring at them rather than extracting out the lesson, then you're going to be effed no matter how good the system is that you're studying, no matter what school that you're joining. So I think what sets me apart as being unique are two things. First of all, I have a really good handle on how to deal with that learned helplessness and teaching a better learning strategy. But number two, and this is someone no one else in the community even claims to be, I'm a terrific healer. I do a lot of healing work in my live events and also through Skype and other ways. In private, I'm a master hypnotist and I can heal people from stage fright, from trauma that they've undergone through dealing with women. I'm the only person in this community who's a change worker. I'm the only, and there's no one else in the community who even claims to be able to do it. I had a guy, if I can give an example, I was giving a talk in London last month. It was about persuasion of all things, because I'm also teaching persuasion these days for businesses. And I could tell this guy was just absolutely a mess and he was terrified of being on stage. So I said, get up here on stage. And I did a little procedure with him. And 5 minutes later, he looked like he'd been born to be on stage. I cured, he had it his whole life. He's like in his 30s. So for 30 something years, he was oppressed by it. It took me 5 minutes is exaggeration. I would say under 10 to heal him of that. Now, that sounds crazy. It's going to sound like that's impossible, but I'm telling you, it's true. So I think there's no one else in the community that can do healing. Now, I would turn around and say not a lot of guys, not all guys need that. Some guys, again, they just need to go out to the field. One of the things that I lack that other companies provide is I don't do group infield. I'll do it one-on-one, but I don't think you can do a big group of people and keep up the quality. So that's one thing that I lack in my business model, that I don't do group training. So if you want to do in-field as part of a large group of guys, you probably should go to somebody else. I don't do that because I can't provide the quality. I can't ensure quality over like more than two or three people. And also, I don't have a lot of trainers. It's just me, basically. So I would say I'm lacking in that, and you know, go to another company that's reputable if you can find it. If you want to be part of something more than three people, I just can't handle. I prefer one-on-one. So that's an area where other people have a superior business.
Hey man, are you looking to improve your life in a number of very important ways? Do you want to improve, say, your dating, your health, your fitness, your business, your confidence, your social skills, your style, any one of these areas? If so, the best way to do this right now is to join our Facebook group. Join the Elite Man Networking Group right now. It's the best way to build a sense of community online. It's so tough nowadays to feel like you're connected to like-minded people. Joining this Facebook group solves that problem. We have hundreds of awesome guys, speakers, thought leaders, life coaches, dating coaches, business leaders, health and fitness experts, bloggers, podcasters, and just regular awesome dudes like yourself on this group right now, sharing their incredible insights, advice, tips, strategies, and techniques to mastering all sorts of really important areas of your life. If you're serious about improving your life, go right now to Facebook and type in Elite Man Networking Group in the search bar. Type it up right now and join the group. I'll approve the request as soon as possible. It's a closed group, which means it's pretty intimate and not everyone can join. But right now, if you log on, I'll have you added within the same day. I want to get as many awesome guys like yourself into the group as possible. We have such a great community of leaders, speakers, coaches, influencers, people to help share their insights with you and to help share great ideas with each other, to just build each other up and build incredible relationships with one another and help each other become the best people we can be. So join this group right now if you're looking to connect with other incredible men just like you and become the best man you can be. Join now. Go on Facebook and type in Elite Man Networking Group. Okay, back to the show now.
Sort of talking about the hypnosis for a minute. I know personally how profound it is because I've used self-hypnosis in my own
life. That's awesome. Yeah, where did you learn, Justin, if you don't mind me turning around the interview and asking you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did you learn?
I just honestly went online, and this was back in the day when I was going through anxiety, panic attacks, depression.
Wow.
I was searching for my own solutions, and I stumbled upon it. And I got a couple books on it, and I started researching it, and I got a few audio CDs. Paul McKenna, I don't know if you heard of him.
I've met Paul.
Paul McKenna, I listened to a lot of his stuff. Andrew Dobson, I don't know if you're familiar with him. New Zealand guy. And
I know another. I've heard of another guy named Dobson who is or was a very famous hypnotist, but I can't recall his first name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's from New Zealand or Australia, one of those countries.
No, this guy's from Seattle, Washington, but that's okay.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I just researched it and then got a lot of their material and just started implementing it in my own life, man. And it was incredible how effective it was for getting over depression and anxiety for me. And ever since then, I've been, you know, the biggest supporter of it.
Yep.
So I totally understand where you're coming from, dude, and I know how powerful it can be in other guys' lives as well.
Yes. And it doesn't always work with everyone. Sometimes I'll give people – I have also studied a lot of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. And I'm not a licensed therapist, I should say, but I know how the methods work. And with some people – hypnosis doesn't work, so I'll turn around and do something else. I had a private three-day long weekend with someone, and oddly enough, he was a Navy Special Forces dude. Navy? Or no, strike that. I'm so sorry. I take that back. That was a different client. This guy was a Navy pilot. He flew rescue helicopters, which is very dangerous work. He just couldn't approach women, and he was very ashamed. So I gave him the assignment of walking a banana, of going to the store, buying a cat leash and a cat collar, putting a banana in it and going for a walk with it and telling women, excuse me, will you watch my banana? You know, if you do that 10 times, you get over your shame and fear. So because hypnosis wasn't going to work with him, I could tell right away. So if you're a healer, you have to have different methods in your bag. Other people, hypnosis won't work, so I'll teach them mindfulness. You got to have a lot of tools in your kit. So I believe in hypnosis. I've been doing it a long time. It's not a panacea, and it's not for everybody. But for God's sakes, it changed my life, and you're telling me it changed yours.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What do you think the reason why it doesn't work and some people are?
I think some people are just not high responders. It depends on what school of hypnosis you follow. There's a school that created by Herbert Spiegel that says some people, the hypnotizability is a born trait. and he rates a scale from 1 to 5, and the 5s are super hypnotizable. I tend to agree with him. Then again, I've seen people of all kinds be suggestible. We all respond to suggestions. So my answer is I really don't know. There are many different theories. I've used direct suggestion, which is more along the lines of Spiegel. I do a lot of Ericksonian stuff. I don't think anyone has the firm answer when it comes to the workings of the human mind. No one does. Anyone who says they do is either deluded or deliberately fraudulent. I always tell students, nothing I teach is the truth with a capital T. It's a map. If you treat it as if it were accurate, you'll tend to get the results. But I by no means stand up and proclaim I have truth with a capital T, nor do I claim that it's science.
Yeah, I like that you say that too.
It's not.
No, I mean, I just don't. I kind of dislike people who think that, you know, everything they say is like gospel and, you know, they're right and you have to do it this way. I mean, you come by those people from time to time and it's just like, it's such a turn off,
yeah.
I guess.
That was my internet persona for many years until I recognized I didn't need to do it anymore and I could drop it. And also, you waste so much time fighting other people. It gets in the way of your own success and my own mission, which is to be I don't consider myself a pickup artist. There are, I'm sure, many people who would kick my ass as a pickup artist or seductionist. I consider myself the best teacher and the only healer in the community. For sure, I'm the best teacher.
Mm-hmm. So, jumping back into sort of the pickup artist stuff, though, because I find it so fascinating.
Sure.
What are some of the sort of language patterns you would use to, say, seduce a woman? Like,
absolutely.
Guys listening, what are some of the tips that they could actually use?
Well, first of all, the way you enter the transaction is half of how you do the seducing. And let me explain that. I believe women respond to 4 vibes. There's being dominant / confident. There's being funny. There's being vulnerable. And then there's showing genuine curiosity. And so, for example, I teach 2 basic approaches. One is to go up and be direct and to give an implied compliment. So here's what I wouldn't teach. I wouldn't teach to go up to a woman and say, "You're so beautiful, I had to come up and meet you." Instead, I would say, "You know, I saw you here and you stopped me dead in my tracks. And I had to say hello or I kicked myself in the ass for 6 weeks." Now, what are you displaying there? You're displaying that you're vulnerable. You're stating how you really feel. You're displaying balls. You're being funny. And here's the thing. You're not saying she's beautiful. You're implying it. Obviously, if she stopped you dead in your tracks, it's not because she's the Gorgon Medusa from Greek legend who turns anyone who looks at her into stone. You're implying that she's beautiful. I like to use implication rather than direct compliments. So that's one approach. It's direct, but it's also vulnerable and funny. And women admire those balls. Listen, 99% of the people in the world want a guarantee before they take a step into the unknown. You showing that you don't need that guarantee is remarkable. And at the end of the interaction, I'll have, if you can't pull her back right then and there, my standard thing to say is, listen, I don't know what your social situation is, but if you're not with someone who's with you in the way you truly want them to be, then I'd like you to spend some time with me. That's vulnerable, that's respectful, and it's direct. And also, if she does have a boyfriend, she begins to think, well, is he really, truly with me in the way I truly want him to be? So that's one approach. The second approach is I teach being corny, but then immediately owning it. I have some training in comedy, and in improv comedy, they teach, if your partner gives you something, no matter how ridiculous, you have to run with it. So I'll teach the following. I'll teach to say to a woman, excuse me, but are you Jamaican? Because you're making me crazy. Now, then what the guy has to say, he has to say, okay, that was really corny and over the top. But when I saw you, I thought to myself, she probably gets approached 50 times a month. Come up with something different and see if she has a sense of humor. What makes that work is that you're owning the corniness. If you just say, are you Jamaican because you're making me crazy, she'll roll her eyes and probably shut you down. But by owning it, by saying, okay, that was over the top, and then telling her what you're really thinking with that implied compliment, then you come off as being ballsy. So those are the two basic approaches. And what I want to say is when you approach like that, you're 50% of the way towards pulling back the bed sheets. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, totally, man. Definitely a little sort of different than what I would think, actually. But
well, what would you think? Give me because I sometimes will just comment on a situation going on, but and sometimes I have to say, I remember being at a deli counter and ordering something, and there was a young woman there, couldn't be past 23, who said, "Oh my God, I can feel your voice vibrating through my body." So in that situation, I'm not going to turn around and throw something like Jamaica at her. I'm going to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree, man. No, I thought, I don't know. I heard somewhere or read somewhere maybe your stuff a long time ago. And I thought your language patterns are like a little different, like more, I guess, sophisticated, but it seems a lot easier and simpler.
It depends on how you show up. A lot more of what I'm teaching guys, don't get me wrong, the language patterns, I'm in love with language. They're very powerful. Mm-hmm. They work. But if you show up with the right vibe and grounded in yourself and not needing a guarantee and wrapping a sense of humor around the whole thing and having a sexual presence that's not horny, you have to walk that line between being asexual on the one hand and a horny, drooling, zipper-melting pervert on the other. That line of showing up attractive and sexual without being horny, and on the other hand, not apologizing for your sexuality. Mm-hmm. Those things tend to make anything you say. I'll put it to you this way. I like to teach you a metaphor. Consider the way you show up. Well, let me back up. Justin, if I had an electric current and I had a choice, I could try to send the current down a sheet of gold foil or a sheet of cardboard. Which one would conduct the current better? It's not a question.
Foil.
Of course. We know this instinctively. So think of the words you use as the current, but think of the way you show up as being the conductive medium. So if you show up in a certain way, you don't want to show up as a cardboard. You understand? So the way in which you show up makes any of the verbal communication much more powerful.
Mm-hmm. So more about presence, less about what you're actually saying.
Well, no, I do emphasize what you're actually saying, but to repeat those patterns word for word here, I think would be an exercise, something of a dull exercise. I can do it if you want.
No. Makes sense, man. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. Now, the trick is, here's the thing. How do you take someone who's experienced a lot of confusion or a lot of defeat or has recently gone through like a breakup or a divorce? How do you take someone like that and convert them into someone who shows up with that kind of presence? That's the magic I can do. I'm enough of a wizard with energy and words and healing that I can do that for people. That's what I'd love to do. Teaching the language patterns is important, but it's relatively trivial compared to turning people around and doing the healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's kind of like the, how do I put this? It's more of like something you can learn. As like if you're going to school, like you learn something like that. The other stuff is more like something you have to
experience.
Experience, yeah. Right, exactly.
And that's the screwed up thing about my business model. I can't duplicate my experience as a healer. You know, I can't clone people, send them out and say you're officially a Ross Jeffries healer. Go and do go forth. So I'm sort of limited by my skill. Is a blessing, but it's also a curse as a business model.
Ross, sort of going forward a bit, is it true you were the inspiration for Tom Cruise's character?
Yes, it is.
In Magnolia, is that right?
Yes, it is true. Paul Thomas Anderson clearly stated it in creative screenwriting, and Tom Cruise denied it, but maybe Tom Cruise didn't know where the inspiration came from. But yes, I should say the inspiration was based on the very exaggerated version of the Ross Jeffries character. You can tell as I'm speaking to you today, I don't think I'm what you expected. I certainly don't come off the way I come off on the internet or on TV shows that I've done. When I'm really talking to someone one-on-one, I try to take on a much more intelligent and calmer approach. Probably people are not – they probably expected a big flaming asshole basically, and I don't think they're expecting what they're hearing today. I hope not.
And why is that?
Why is what?
Why is it that you think people... Well, why is it that you sort of take on a different role?
Because, you know, I was influenced in my marketing early on by professional wrestling and by Muhammad Ali, who always bragged about being the greatest. And actually, one of the hidden fathers of my work, we all know Richard Bandler influenced me, and Bandler's an outrageous character, but I would not have made a penny or had any ability. This community would not have started were not for my marketing guru, Gary Halbert.
Gary Halbert, yeah.
You know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the greatest marketer or copywriter who ever lived. And I was a student of his, and Gary said something that's been one of my deepest learnings. He said, when it comes to promoting yourself or writing copy, no one has time to try to figure out your pathetic subtlety. And that I've kept as something right in the forefront of my brain, you know, that you, so Gary really influenced me to be an exaggerated character.
That's pretty cool, man. It makes a lot of sense too, I guess, looking back, that some of these people would have influenced you, obviously Ali.
Oh yeah.
Wrestling, Halbert, you know, even Bandler. I didn't know he was kind of an eccentric personality either, but
you didn't?
No, I didn't. Duh. I guess I'm kind of
duh.
But no, it makes a lot of sense, man. And coming from someone like Gary Halbert too, who is just so incredibly smart with copywriting and marketing.
Wasn't he? I everything I write today, every piece of copy, and I write all my own ad copy for my website, is influenced by Gary. I couldn't do any of it were it not for him. And I met him a few times. He was a big fan of mine. He said, Ross, your stuff is full of shit, but you're a great marketer. I really love you. I said, no, Gary, it really works. He said, yeah, bullshit.
That's a riot. No, yeah. I still listen to Gary's old like YouTube videos, and I still find myself reading his letters and stuff.
Hey,
if you
want to be a marketer and write copy, you got to look up the Gary Halbert letter or Gary Halbert newsletter, and it influenced the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm. Totally, man. Okay, so another sort of random question that I just thought of too. I mean,
sure.
you're in the Neil Strauss book, The Game.
Oh,
which
God.
Is one of the, I don't even, you might know what I'm about to say.
One of
the most popular seduction books, and kind of put people, or gave a lot more people sort of the awareness of the community.
Right.
There's a story in there about you and Carmen Electra, I think it was. Is that, do they have any
I don't remember.
Basis at
Frankly.
All?
I really don't remember. I was, if I did it, it was probably because I was bored shitless by these incredibly shallow Hollywood people who, you know, it was my way of saying, I want to get the fuck out of this situation. I was ridiculing. If I did it, it was probably, you know, because I was ridiculing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to ask, man. I know.
Yeah, that's all right.
Probably, yeah.
I can give you my opinion. If you want to discuss the game, I can go into details about that.
Sure. Well, we got a few minutes. We want to talk about that for a few.
I think, first of all, Neil's a brilliant writer, but I think he really took things out of context and twisted things around to write that book. I don't think it's nearly accurate or honest about how he portrayed people. Certainly not me. I think he's done a terrible disservice to Eric, aka Mystery, who I actually like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
He basically took stuff from Mystery and took stuff from me and created his own method, which he repackaged and sold. And I think that's a pretty vile and despicable thing to do. Now, that said, he gave me a lot of publicity. It generated, I never talked about money. It generated a lot of cash for me, that publicity from that book, and still does today. But he really took, you know, some low blows. He took swipes at my parents. He took swipes at my students. You don't do that. You leave certain things out, you know. I'm a public figure. And I put my head out there every day on the chopping block. If you want to take a swipe at me, go ahead. You do so at your own peril. You don't attack a person's family. That's vile. It's just, it was a vile thing to do. And he said, you know, if it ever comes out in paperback, I'll rewrite it. And yeah, right. It never did. So I wasn't pleased with that. Bashing my parents, that I owe him a punch in the face for that one. And he also slept with my favorite ex-girlfriend without asking. That's violating the Strike guy code. You don't do that, right?
No, you don't do that.
You don't do that.
If anything, you ask before, and if it's cool, then you say whatever.
You know, I couldn't bring myself to buy nor read his most recent book, The Truth. Yeah. But he talks about how he's a sex addict. Neil is actually addicted to betraying people. He likes to betray people. That's what he does. But that said, he wrote it's certainly a I hate to use the term, no pun intended. It's a seminal book. It changed how people think about the whole community. So everyone in that sense owes him a debt. Mm-hmm. But he did a disservice to me, but he really did a disservice to Eric. He took much more from Eric than he did from me. And I like Mystery, aka Eric. He's a good guy. He's just surrounded himself by people who have really taken advantage of him more than me. And unlike me, he didn't have good attorneys. I have a really good pitbull attorney. So who believes what I do?
Nice, man. Well, it's good to hear your side of the story. I'm sure you kind of don't really get asked a lot about that anymore anyways, but it's good to kind of hear for people listening.
Don't
take
the swipe at my say anything you want about me. You can call me a blood-sucking, dog-fucking communist. don't bring family into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a low blow for sure if he did. Absolutely, man. But yeah, so going back to sort of the persuasion thing, because you talked about that earlier. You said you help people now with like marketers and
entrepreneurs, marketers, small businesses. I won't help Fortune 500. I won't help you if you're in the military industrial complex, big pharma, big energy, big finance. You can stuff it.
Mm-hmm. How do you help some of these entrepreneurs and businessmen?
Well, see, I've got to be careful. I don't want to seem like I'm plugging, but I will go into their businesses, evaluate what they need, and then I'll do a training depending on what they need, anywhere from 3 hours to a weekend to 5 days. And, you know, I've had people increase their sales anywhere from 30 to 100%. If you do 10% increase in your sales, that's a lot. So mm-hmm. I know things about the principles of persuasion, and I'm laughing to myself, applications that I think no one else knows. And I'm really enjoying that. Plus, it puts me in front of women as well as guys. So if I can talk in front of women, it's sort of like a well-paid dating service for me.
So I'm guessing you use a lot of like the language patterns you use in seduction.
I do. Can I give you some examples? I keep something called agreement frames. Like if someone says this is too expensive, I'll say I agree that it seems too expensive, and that's because you haven't yet realized the return on investment that this will bring you. That being the case, why don't we have a different look at these numbers? So you start with the green, and then you put up a false cause and effect. I agree that it seems too expensive, or I agree that up until now it seemed too expensive. And that's because, which is a linkage phrase, and it may not be that for that reason at all, but you haven't yet seen the return on investment you'll get. So bearing that in mind, why don't we have a different look at it? Do you understand? So I love teaching agreement frames. I love teaching agreement frames is one example.
Sounds like objection killers, too.
They're objection killers. And you can start with agreement frames before there's an objection. Mm-hmm. For example, let's say you're – no, I don't want to give this away. Anyone who sells cars for a living, if you use this one paragraph, you'll increase your sales by like 20%. I love teaching ambiguities, and it's just really cool to teach language. And then teaching the inner game part of it is super cool, too.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You'll have to look me up on that. I want to respect the your podcast rules and not plug.
Sure, absolutely, man. I appreciate that.
Of course.
So Ross, how have you changed in the last almost 30 years now? Like, I know you started off doing seduction and sort of pickup artist stuff, have you changed? Like,
I've seen myself more and more. I get more and more and more joy out of being a healer and a teacher of broad concepts. Healing and teaching is my life. If I had $10 million in the bank, I'd do it every weekend for free. although when you charge nothing, people don't value it. But healing and teaching and being a thought leader, someone who breaks the boundaries of where people thought they'd have to stop with their thinking, is my life and is my passion. And really redefining myself as a healer has, and I know a lot of people are going to shake their heads and say, what? But healing is really a calling. I believe I'm someone who's walking his path, and I really didn't get how much of it and how humbling. It's a humbling thing to turn someone's life around. You have to understand, a lot of people come to me, I'm their last hope, literally. You know, their plane is crashing, and I've got to be Superman and bring them into a soft landing. That's deeply humbling for me, profoundly humbling. In some ways, I haven't changed. I still am outrageously funny when I teach. I still love being an entertainer and being over the top. In my seminars, I'm pretty over the top. Because people are dealing with pain, you have to be funny. And it keeps it interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you say you've changed overall, just kind of as a person.
You know, things happen as you get older. My parents dying really was a mind bender and a heart opener. To watch the people you love age and then die. And then I had a heart attack in 2013 where I had my own little dance with Mr. Death. It changes your perspective.
Yeah.
I don't wish it on anybody. And a lot of my bitterness has just vanished. When I got into meditating, a lot of that bitterness and envy, which I admit, and anger, which I totally admit I had been coming from for too long, I saw that they were spiritual poisons. They had poisoned me. And it serves me best to get rid of them. And they still haunt me from time to time. Every human suffers from those spiritual poisons. And I hate using the word spiritual. It's such a sloppy term. But you know what I'm trying to convey.
Absolutely.
By the way, I still teach getting laid. You know, my motto is, you don't get laid, I don't get paid. Everything I teach about nailing chicks, see, here I go. I can take on the other persona. It's still valid, and I claim it's the best system in the world.
Mm-hmm. What's your sort of day-to-day look like now? Are you still sleeping with women all the time?
Right now, I'm mostly working.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recently met someone. I don't know yet where it's going to go. I have a sense, and I don't know. It's either going to completely turn to nothing, or it's going to turn into something really deeply serious. I don't know. It could go either way, nothing or deeply serious, but it won't be in the middle. But right now I'm working. I'm working long days to create a new business and grow my seduction business. So I'm mostly working these days.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I don't have time to chase tail.
And what sort of, final send-off takeaway message would you like to leave our guys before we kind of wrap things up in a few minutes?
Profound change is possible. It's work, but it can be joyful. And, you know, you have to have the right teacher. I really believe I'm the best teacher in the world. There are guys out there who are better at getting laid, but I'm the best coach you could possibly find.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, there isn't. Man. And where can our Elite Man listeners check out more about you, Ross?
Well, that depends on what you want. I have a free course on meeting women. You go to seduction.com/free. It really is free. That's my way of, we will ask for an email address, but we won't spam you. You can unsubscribe anytime, but it really is free and it carries great value. Seduction.com/free. And then if you want to contact me about persuasion trainings for your business or for you personally, go to RossJeffriesLive.com. That's RossJeffriesLive.com. And we can talk about custom designing a training for your business or doing, you know, one-on-one coaching for you. I'm the best when it comes to understanding persuasion and teaching it. And it's got real applications for making money.
Awesome, man. Ross, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I've been a fan of yours for such a long time.
Justin, thank you for doing one of the most intelligent interviews I've ever done.
Thanks so much,
buddy.
Man.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right. Get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.